with each your soul the keys. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul the keys.
Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. Tonight we have quite a treat. And you guys, if you know anything about Remember the Water, about the spirits, pictures of the spirits in the water, and about Dr. Emoto's messages from water, all this kind of stuff, you're going to be on the edges of your seats tonight. My special guest tonight is kind of famous here in Sedona. Ha-ha! Did I say that right?
You sure did. Hi.
Okay, good. Hi. Otherwise known as, you want to give them your other name?
Sure. My birth name is Robert. And I use both.
Yeah.
I like both.
So Robert, or Ha'a, what we are going to do tonight is we're going to impart some interesting things to you guys. And so, listeners, you're going to hear something about dimensions and about how to photograph the spirits in water and what it all means and where we're going with it and all that kind of stuff. And in the background, I'm going to be playing some of Robert's music as we're going along. And if we lose everything, it's because we're having pretty massive lightning storms here in Sedona, and I've already been, you know, shut down with no power for about 10 minutes, so I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, Robert, go ahead and please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your project.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Here. And this is my first time on the radio, and I'm really happy and honored to be here in the presence of everyone that's listening. And my work, I guess my path that I'm embracing here in my lifetime here is with the water. It began back in 2004, and it all began one day where I was sitting in a coffee shop here in Sedona. And Sedona, if any of you have ever been to Sedona, you kind of know it's a pretty magical place and a lot of odd things take place here. I'm sitting by myself with my coffee, and I'm looking over, and I'm seeing this dog sitting there with this man. And the dog looks at me, and I actually hear a voice saying, "Speak to him." I'm saying, okay, you know, I've got a pretty magical imagination to begin with, so I'm thinking I'm making this up at first. And it happened a few times, and I'm like, okay, either I'm making this up, it doesn't matter, I'm still getting the message to talk to this guy. So I said good morning to him. We started talking. Make a long story short, he needed a ride to a place called Havasupai, which is at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Magical place. Anyway, we're driving, we get there, the next morning, we're outside the sweat lodge, and there's this dog there, and she starts talking to me again, telling me that this man is lost, and that he needs some help, and that she's with him, and guiding him for a while, and I'm like, I'm looking at this dog, and I'm telepathically thinking, I said, if I'm really talking to you, I want you to come up to me and give me your paw. And at that exact moment, the dog walks up to me and hands me her paw. My jaw dropped. I'm like, okay, this is happening, huh? Anyway, make a really, really, really long story short, a lot of magic took place, and I left the Havasupai Reservation, came back, saw the movie What the Bleep. Inside the movie, a woman by the name of Ramta talks about how a camera doesn't have judgment and how a camera will actually capture a whole lot that we cannot see with our eyes because we have judgment. So I said, okay, let me put two and two together. I went back to the reservation, and I went out there, and I said, Spirit, if you really wish to speak to me, to do so in my camera, show up in my camera. I walked around. I think I shot like 600 photographs in this place. I mean, the place is like an interdimensional place. If any of you really like water and you like the nature, I mean, Havasupai is probably one of the most magical places on the earth. It's a great place to go to. I came home, I downloaded my camera into my computer, and I opened up these pictures, and I was blown away. I actually, photographs, it looks like Poseidon, deities in the water, angels in the water. I was blown away to the point where I didn't believe that I was actually looking at this stuff. I walked away, came back a few times. It took me about a year of showing probably a million people these photographs until I finally convinced myself, yes, they're real and they really are in the water. So in the process of that, I've gone out and I photographed many, many, many different locations. And I continuously have things show up in the water. So, I mean, this has been my work. My work has been to bring forth the images of deities that are actually available to us to see. I mean, many of us think about them, we feel them, but to really see them on a DVD and to look at them and really be able to stop and look at it and not have to really use your imagination, because these things are pretty clear for us to see.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to sit there and think about it for 5 minutes and try to see it. It's just right there in front of you. Beautiful.
The work that I do is to help people break out of the box and to validate to them what we've all known for such a long time. I mean, we all know that different dimensions exist. We all know the spirits exist, but our brain kind of stops from actually really, really believing it. So what this work does that I do is actually it crosses the left brain with the right brain, so it really validates it. I get calls from practitioners constantly telling me how much it helps them. It puts them in a different zone. And so I've continued to do it. I continue to work with it. As one of the things that I've noticed is my energy has changed, so has the actual images of the photographs. I just recently came back from Mount Shasta, California, and photographed water that was just actually coming out from underneath the mountain. How long it's under there, probably 1,000 years, 500 years or something like that. And this water is the highest vibrational energy I've ever seen. It's incredible photographs of water.
Yeah, and I have one of those too. Last time I was at Mount Shasta, I photographed right where the spring was coming out, right out of the mountain, and I have this beautiful lady in the water. She's green, you know, and I showed Ha'a this the other day.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And what I did was I stood at the edge, and I said, you know, deity of the water, diva of the water, you know, please show yourself to me so I can take this back and show the people of Sedona. And I haven't had time to run around and do any pictures in Sedona, but the spirits will speak to you. They'll show themselves. And Ha'a, you've certainly had plenty of that kind of communication. And, you know, as you said, you were kind of doubting things that were going on. And I understand that. You know, I've been through things too. And as I told you, you know, I just really appreciate that you're coming out and saying these things, because those of us that have had weird experiences can go, hey, there's another one.
Yeah, I mean, there is as many different deities on the planet as there's probably grains of sand. You know, Dr. Valerie, I walked around with these photographs, showing them probably for the last year and a half, and I sat back and I said, what am I doing with this stuff? I mean, all right, I can see spirits, okay. So what else is there to be found out about? You know, what else is to be revealed here? What else is to be spoken about inside this? And I would say in the past 7-8 months, I've been uncovering the lessons from the water. I mean, the water is a great teacher in the aspects of it. It teaches us how to move through things, and it teaches us how to release things, and it teaches us how to heal.
Yeah.
And especially nature. I mean, if you go to nature, nature is the greatest teacher for us, because it teaches us balance. It teaches us how to be still. And the water, for me, is like it's energy that moves. And it's on a linear plane. It's flat. It's moving. And if you ever look at water, if it comes up against a rock, you know, it doesn't sit there with an attitude, tell the rock to move. It goes around it. And, I mean, it's sort of like it teaches us about our own things. You know, if you look at water, if water actually becomes stuck, it becomes stagnant, and it gets sick.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the energy that flows through our bodies. I mean, we are literally conduits of energy moving through us, and if we hold vibrational energies that could be, you know, in the symbolic way of looking like at a rock, but you know, holding anger, holding fear, holding resentments, holding any kind of negativity which actually traps energy, it's like the water. We become stagnant. We become sick. We age. We have things break out in our bodies. We take on illnesses. So the water literally is a great teacher of understanding the motion of energy. So I think one of the things is that that we're all trying to do is we're all trying to heal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we've all been somehow been messed over with in life. Somebody's done something to us, or we've got trapped in childhood dramas, or what have you. The stories are all different. Nevertheless, they're stories. We hold them, and we have pain in us.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think I was telling you when we were visiting the other day that when I spoke with Dr. Masaru Emoto about the messages from water, we talked at great length about how the water in our body communicates with the water in everyone else's body and with the water that's part of planet Earth. And you're on the board there, too, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So you have probably some information the rest of us haven't been privy to.
Yeah, things are constantly changing. I mean, Dr. Moto and I have actually presented a couple times together. I've been in his company a dozen times. He's a good man.
Yeah.
His heart is really pure. I mean, he's a bit tired because his schedule is like all over the planet all the time.
Yeah.
And the guy doesn't rest.
Yeah.
You know, every time I see him, I say, Dr. Moto, you got to take a vacation. He goes, yeah, I've got 10 more countries to do. You know, so it's, he's definitely, my hat goes off to him. He's a catalyst. He's done great things. He's opened up the doors for people such as myself and the work that I do. You know, one of the things you're talking about, the water communicating between our bodies and other people's bodies, Dr. Moto did an experiment in Southeast Asia in a village where he had people gather from all these different villages. And what they had this big drum, and they poured all their water from their own village into these drums. And it was probably about 500 or 600 people that gathered around this drum, this container that held water, and they did prayer on it. And they sent intention into it. And the water from where it came from, it had actually altered the vibrational frequencies in those areas. So the water that is in us is in every one of us. We see ourselves as separate, but literally the water actually has demonstrated that by the water, working on the water in one particular area and actually sending prayers to another area, it will actually affect it.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, too. I can't remember if I told you or not, but when I did my ceremony, when I went to naturopathic medical school, one of the things that we did at the beginning and at the very end when we graduated is we had water from all of the naturopathic schools, and we had water that came from a long time before and was basically prayed over by all of us. And so we had this tradition we were carrying on, and so everyone would bring new water and pour it in and then take a little bit of the combination of that after the blessing home. And so each one of us put that portion of ourselves and of the entire healing community into that particular water. And it's been real interesting to see what's happened since then, because we have a cohesiveness and a caring that has spanned centuries. Now, I don't know, you know, how ancient the water was they put in there, but who knows? You know? It gets pretty interesting when you start thinking we are all connected through that water. And you know, Dr. Emoto had said as much when we were talking about the Hado machine and healers and how they heal other people. And you and I had talked about doing a ceremony like that on the show tonight. So,
yes,
we'll do that a little bit later. So, people, if you have some water that you'd like to have blessed, what we're going to do is we're going to pray over it, and we're going to make like a homeopathic distillation of this stuff. Basically, you're going to be able to take it and put it into other water any place, whether it's your household and you give some to each person, whether it's you know, dumping it into the nearby lake that's polluted or whatever. But let's do this grand experiment in the power of healing, in the power of love, and this great power of connection that we have.
So Dr. Valerie, one of the things that I like to say, excuse me a second, one of the things I like to say is that the water really isn't separate anywhere.
I know.
The water that is inside of each of us, as we sit wherever we are listening to this program, I mean, the water that is in your body has everything you need.
Yeah.
I mean, it is ancient.
Yes.
I mean, it's all the same water from the very, very beginning of the journey, wherever it came from. And one of the things that Dr. Emoto does, he does demonstrate that water records.
Oh, yes.
And as you look at these images, and the DVD that I have, Sacred Water, you can see a lot of information inside the water. And if water literally has recorded everything from the very, very beginning of time, it's ancient.
Absolutely.
So the water that is in your body right now is ancient. So you're an ancient being.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of shines a little different kind of light on us when we realize that we are very ancient. We have all this information and knowledge within ourselves. You know, I had something happen. There's a young lady by the name of Shanae, who's my musical partner. She left me her keyboard on a Friday. And Monday I was playing the keyboard. And I was playing it like I was playing it for 20 years, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't quite understand how that happened. But I believe somehow after looking at it that I accessed the information that was already in the water.
Yeah, that would make sense. That makes perfectly good sense. You know, nothing is secret. And
it's a hard thing to comprehend, but it's all there for us, every bit of information that we'd ever want.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Dale Ray is asking, how much water can we have? There's no limit, Dale Ray. You want to go bless your swimming pool? We can do that.
Yeah, I mean, as you go outside and you bless the rain that's coming out, like right now we've got this amazing rainstorm that's coming down here, and I'm up in northern Arizona where it's kind of dry for the most part, but, you know, I look at the rain now and I see this is ancient, ancient water coming from the sky. I never, you know, after reading a couple of books from Dr. Emoto, I mean, I don't look at the water the same anymore.
You know, and it really brings a picture up for me, too. I was doing a vision quest one year, long, long time ago, and the first cold snap of the season in Las Vegas, and I was out at the Red Rock Park there, camping. And I was standing there, and I was so far into my right brain. And, you know, if you don't have that experience of being in your right brain, it's really weird. It's like you had a stroke or something. You can't communicate. You can't talk. You don't think in words. It's really fun, actually, but it's really bizarre if you're not used to switching back and forth between the sides of your brain. And I was standing there, and I was so far in my right brain and really communing with nature, and it started raining. And I'm standing there looking at these raindrops. I had no idea what it was. And they were coming down at a perfectly slanted level as if it was a picture. It was so stylized, and every rainbow was this incredible, I mean, every drop was this rainbow. Just so amazing. And when you kind of, you know, refocus your eyes and look at all the drops, it was a huge rainbow. And when you looked at just one drop or each individual drop, it was their own individual little rainbows. And I'd never seen that before. It was quite fascinating. And then I looked further and I could see that the cloud spirits or whatever you want to call them, but same thing that you see in the water, I saw the faces in the clouds.
Mm.
And they were all like waving at me.
Well, the clouds are the water.
Yeah, they were all waving at me. And they're smiling at me, and it was like, hey, she sees us. Now, I've had that experience with trees and with rocks and stuff, too, so I'm really weird. But
the weirder, the better.
Yeah.
Unplugging from the box, huh?
Exactly. And, you know, that's when you remind yourself that we are so much more and so much more connected. And, you know, to be able to commune with nature and to see the mysteries that, you know, we have no idea how it works, but if you get in your right brain and you do all this stuff, you don't need to know. You just know.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Valerie, this morning I got up and I do meditation, sun gazing in the morning, most mornings, and for some reason I'm sitting on these steps up at this area, this park, and I think I had a little biscuit or something, and I threw a little bit out into the land in front of me, and I watched these ants. I watched them carry these little bits off. I mean, they were like a million times the size of each one of them.
Wow.
Amazing, these guys. But I was watching the cooperation and the teamwork that they had to work together.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I never seen so much support. And I watched them walk past each other. They stopped. They looked at each other. They honored each other. I mean, I was blown away by that. And I feel that if we do pay attention to nature, literally we're going back to where we came from.
Yeah.
I mean, we were very primitive at one time where we actually were very connected with the earth, and I feel that our disconnection from the earth is really where we disconnected from the truth of who we are. So observing nature, I mean, it's a blessing, it's a teacher, it's it literally will help us in our life.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked about some of the things that I've seen, you know, on my trips out in nature, and I'm reminded of the legends of the Native American medicine men and the Aborigines and all of the ones that are so connected with nature. And people are just blown away when Western people go to see these people, because they say, wow, they were just sitting there smoking a cigarette and pointed at a cloud and it moved across the sky. And they're going, oh, that's real power. You know, I wish I had that kind of stuff. It's like, dude, you've got it. You just forgot how to use it, that's all.
Yeah. You know, there's a tribe, when tsunami took place in December of 2004 in Southeast Asia, there is a tribe down there called the Moken tribe. It's spelled M-O-K-E-N, the Moken tribe. Many of them were sort of older, and none of them were hurt. I mean, the children, the animals, they all made way for higher ground before the tsunami hit.
And
these people are really like fish people. They're really connected to the earth. I mean, a lot of the modern people were like laughing at them, calling them primitive and this and that, and backwards. But look, I mean, look what happened to them. They were very connected to the earth, and none of them happened to lose their lives. They all survived. And the same thing with the animals.
Yeah.
You know, I know that times are changing for us on our planet, and we really are beginning to wake up. We're activating different talents that we've always had that have been kind of shadowed by our brains and what have you. And I know the best way to activate our Godhead within ourselves is to tap into the earth. Go out there, look at the ants, watch the water, listen to the birds. I mean, nature is always talking to us. It's an amazing teacher for us. It really is.
Yeah, and I can remember... oh, gosh, so many legends of people talking with nature and nature talking back. And, of course, a lot of people think that's crazy and that, you know, you're hearing voices, that's not good. But actually, I think it's more that it's a frequency that we get back from the rest of the creation, and we interpret it in our brains as to mean whatever so that we understand. But, I mean, you know, here in Sedona we have so many magical things happening that, you know, people go out and talk to birds, and the birds respond, and they ask you for water, and they ask you for some seeds, and they do those kinds of things. And, you know, I had my experience with water when I was doing another vision quest in Death Valley one year when I didn't want to freeze my butt off. And, you know, I was completely protected from storms the entire 3 days I was there. I talked with the ants. I was camped right on top of their mound, practically, and they allowed me to be there. And we had a little symbiotic relationship going on. I gave them food. They left me completely alone. And normally, if you're camped anywhere near ants, you know what happens. And, you know, none of that happened. It was just completely magical. I honored them. They honored me. I gave them food. I left. Everything was fine. And so there's quite a bit that we're missing by sequestering ourselves inside. And so I'd like the listeners to go to your website, if they're on the computer right now, listening that way.
Can they do that and stay on with us? Or?
Yes, they can. All they have to do is bring up another window.
Okay, it's the website is www.rememberthewater.com. You know, a young lady just told me not too long ago that was terrified of spiders. Mm-hmm. And apparently they bit her. And I hear stories of things happening, especially with spiders for some reason, insects that they actually bite people. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that it's the fear that brings them on.
Mm.
It's like if we fear anything, we're resisting something. And if we're resisting anything, we're actually giving energy to intensify it so it actualizes it and it will come at us.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there's that old sage advice, you know, about what you resist persists.
Oh, God, yes. You know, that's my lesson right now. I'm learning to not resist. And, I mean, I've resisted most of my life, and I really believe that through the resistance came a lot of intense energy. I got angry. It brought a lot of unhappiness to me. And I feel in the last couple of years that I've been through so much that I've learned about resistance And, I mean, that was a cute little story happened to me a while back. I'm laying in my bed, 3 o'clock in the morning. This went on for a couple of weeks. This little mouse would be scratching up in my attic above my bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 o'clock on the nose was waking me up. So I got a friend of mine, who's a skinny guy, had him up there put mouse traps up, and I said, okay, I'm going to get this little critter. As much as I love animals, my sleep's more important.
Hmm.
So he got up there, he put all these mouse traps up, and one morning, 3 o'clock, I'm laying in bed, I'm hearing this scratching, and I heard a little voice in my head says, resist not. And I laid there and I said, welcome, whoever you are, you know, and I sent it love. And from that night, it stopped, never came back.
Wow.
We got every one of the mouse traps out. It did not. We didn't hurt it. You know, it mm-hmm. just vanished.
Yeah.
And I really got it. It was like, don't resist anything. If you don't resist anything, you don't empower it.
Yeah.
It's the resistance which intensifies and really creates pain in our body. You know, I mean, it's the resistance. And that's the same thing with water. I mean, like the example I was sharing with you guys earlier is that if water is going down and it sees a rock, it's just going to go right around it. It's not going to stay there and say, rock, get out of the way. It's just going to flow. Down it keeps going.
Yeah,
you know, I was in a supermarket one day. I had this relationship with this young lady, and I was really hurting. And emotional drama is very painful. And, of course, we all try to get rid of it. We don't want to feel that way when it happens.
Yeah.
And there I was pushing a shopping cart. And I'm standing there, and I just stopped, and I closed my eyes, and I said hello to the pain.
Mm.
I said, hello, pain. I know you're just a visitor, because I know I always end up feeling better eventually sometime here. And I know you're with me right now to bring something, to tell me something, or what have you. And I spoke to it like it was alive energy, because energies are alive.
Oh, absolutely.
And Dr. Valerie, when I did that, it went away. And I said, oh, my God, how come I haven't done this sooner?
Yeah.
No, of course I forgot. You know, I still go through my stuff, as we all do, but to keep practicing it and keep learning about non-resistance.
Yeah, that's
really
a good point with the pain, because so many people are in so much physical, mental, and emotional pain, and really it's your own thing. You know, it's your path until you get whatever it is the lesson is. And, you know, I have friends that have really bad pain, that are on all kinds of medications, and they get very angry when I tell them this. And I tell them, you know, I'm not somebody who has not been through life with, you know, without any kind of pain. You know, I understand, you know, been there, done that. And so the question to me is always, what is it you're supposed to get? And if you do open yourself and you allow who you are, the essence of your being, to really flow out and touch everything in your environment and go, okay, what's wrong here? For instance, pain in your body is there to show you something's wrong. And so what is it that's wrong, and what are you going to do about it? And, you know, we are mostly water. So if you're talking to the water, if you're blessing your water, like I bless everything before I eat it or drink it, and I have friends that laugh at me for doing that, I tell them, it's okay, you laugh. I'm not praying to a deity. I'm praying to the all that we are. And I'm just saying, hey, you know, thanks. Thank you for giving me this, you know, for, and I'm thanking myself, too, for bringing this all together. It's like, yeah, I'm recognizing that these other things that I'm taking in are still part of me, you know, and part of the all that is everything, but I'm allowing it to pass through me, too. So, like, I don't worry about microwaves or anything like that. You know, and you know, got to the point where I realized, and I think Dr. Emoto shows us a lot with his work, you know, by bringing that proper attitude and raising your vibratory level, then you're automatically going to raise the vibratory level of everything else around. And so if pain is a low vibration, you're going to change it. Now,
yeah.
It's very difficult to do that when you're in severe pain. So at that point, you might have to take something, you know, to knock the pain down. But it's basically there to show you, hey, something's wrong here.
Well,
you know?
I kind of agree with you, but there is something else that was revealed to me. I just finished writing a book called Sacred Water that's available on lulu.com. I sat one afternoon, and probably for about 3 days, and I asked Spirit, my higher I am, my consciousness, what have you. I said, why is there so much pain on planet Earth? You know, any of you guys listen out there on the radio, if there's any of you that don't have any pain, you're totally in total peace, please call in and show me how to do it. I feel that somehow, you know, we're on a planet, we have freedom of choice, but for some reason we've all have chosen to experience the emotional pain. And what was revealed to me is that if we understand energy, that energy has to, every bit of energy vibrates at a certain frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, for example, if you take two people, let's say they're both 150 pounds each, one person's very depressed, and the other person is happy. Now, if you look at them, they're going to appear to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's depressed is going to be really kind of like pushing to the ground, where the other one is ready to, like, launch.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing, they're having different thoughts. One's thinking differently than the other, and their vibratory energy flows are actually being very different.
Yeah.
I believe that what has happened a long time ago, that on a collective soul level, the spirit itself really wanted to find a way to actually manifest form.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of trying to figure out how to do this, they realized that they had to create a vibratory energy, a frequency, to slow the spirit down. And what it actually did is to create a pain.
Mm-hmm.
And pain literally is a vibratory energy that actually helped us to create the third dimensional realm. If you look at someone that is not in pain, I mean truly not in pain, I'll take one of these Tibetan monks or something like that, they're chanting all day long or whatever, they are vibrating in a different place.
True.
It's almost as if we have to unplug from this agreement of this planet to experience non-pain. Now, of course, we have times, we have days, we have great blissful days, what have you. But for some reason, I mean, I can only speak for myself and my experience of my walk here, is that I have gone in and out many different times. I've been in pain, I'm not in pain. So it's like a ping-ponging effect. But for some reason, a dramatic energy will show up or an experience will show up, and that's why do these things happen? You know, I feel that they happen because it helps to sustain a vibratory energy to stay in this frequency. For example, a radio station, straight line, guys talking about the weather here in Sedona being beautiful, what have you, change the station, guys talking about the racetrack, here comes a rabbit around the track, and the person who's talking about the weather in Sedona, he's not done talking, we've just changed the station.
Right.
So each station actually has its own vibratory energy,
sure,
frequency. So in this place called Planet Earth, there's a vibration, and it's we're brought here by agreement of tuning into the energies here. And for some reason, it seems to be that Planet Earth has chosen to create pain. We've been here a long time, and there's really no reason for us to continue to experience pain unless we're choosing it. And I think what happens when we unplug from the pain, we start seeing things that are very different. We start having experiences that are very different. And that is very frightening for a lot of people. A lot of people would rather hold on to their pain instead of letting go of what's going on around them and moving on. Because moving on means facing something of the unknown and really being responsible. I feel like right now what's happening with our world is, as we go through the shift of ages, a lot of people are experiencing a lot of wild stuff right now.
Yeah.
And it's freaking a lot of people out because they don't know what to do with it. Now, what I would say to them is to hold the space of love within yourself. Just realize that love is the only thing that's real. And anything that shows up that doesn't appear like real, don't resist it. And just stay in a place of peace within yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a few experiences with that stuff.
Hmm?
You know, before we get on another subject, excuse me, you and I had talked about teaching people how to see into another dimension. Can we do that?
Oh, absolutely.
I think that would be great.
When I first started to, when I first went to Havasupai, I realized that somehow I had gone to a different dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by a different dimension, things felt very different. Felt like I was in between time. It was almost like a lucid state. I wasn't awake and I wasn't asleep. And the place appeared to me as if it had been frozen in time somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite didn't understand what to make of it at first. I mean, I had all these experiences take place. I had an out-of-body experience. And I was basically just really trying to figure it out for a while. What I did do when I was in Havasupai is I spent a lot of time with the water. Havasupai means people of the blue-green water, by the way. There's a lot of water there, and there's a lot of light that comes straight down because it's in a canyon. So there was a lot of these sparkling light particles that were showing up in the water. But at first, I didn't realize what was going on. Now, if we look at energy on the Earth, light itself from the sun holds the highest vibrational frequency that is natural next to water. Water sustains light. I mean, and light sustains water. So they work together. Basically, that's what created the Earth here. So what I came to learn is that when light and water come together, it raises the vibrational frequency even higher. And if you go to the water and you see these little light particles that are flickering, a lot of times it's really good to go to a lake or a creek or something like that because it's easy to stand by the side. If you look at these particles and squint your eyes, where you block out all the other information of stuff that's around you, and just focus on this light will actually, it will actually penetrate into your body. And at first it looks like you're looking into space, you're looking at stars or whatever. It's pretty amazing. Now, everything vibrates. Everything is alive on the Earth. Everything vibrates, and everything that vibrates has a sound. And water and light coming together have a sound. And if you tone, it's like two strings of a guitar. Like you're, when you're tuning a guitar, it's like you got wah, 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 wah. They're equal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if you can feel things? I'm very empathic. When I can look at something, I can feel it. And when I'm looking at these light particles in the water, with my eyes squinted, I can actually feel the sound. I can feel it more than I can hear it. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the feeling of it, I actually bring my body into a toning. I start toning with it. And I create this guitar string effect where once I actually bring it together and it's in harmonics with each other, equal harmonics, whoosh, there's like a flash, and all of a sudden, you're somewhere else.
Mm.
I've actually taken half a dozen people on journeys. The last time I did it, I took Shanae with me. We were down at Red Rock Crossing here in Sedona, and we end up going to an Indian village. And we didn't see each other, but we came out of this thing experiencing being in the same place. We saw this little boy, sort of like having a bar mitzvah or something like that. It was a day of becoming a man. We saw the village. We saw the festival. And we came out. We looked at each other, and we shared it. And that's one of the ways you do it.
That brings up a few interesting things, too. You know, I've done some of the Native American ceremonies, and one of the things that we women do is a full moon ceremony. And it's where you take candles, you know, there are four candles for the four directions, and you go to this particular ancient bowl that's filled with water, and what you're doing is scrying in the bowl, but what you're looking at is the flicker of the candlelight on the water. And, you know, of course everyone prays and has, you know, pure intent and things like that and asks for visions for the village or the community. You know, and whatever it is that the elders want to give to us in order to prepare us. And it's an amazing thing. It will take you, boom, to another dimension quickly. And sometimes it's really great and fun, and sometimes it's not so great. You know, it just kind of depends on what the message is. But I've never tried it just sitting there and just looking at it like that. That's an interesting thing. I might have to practice that one.
Oh, it's amazing.
I know. Amazing. I almost went into something like that. I was taking Richard Allen Miller over to Montezuma's Castle on his way back to the airport last time, and we're standing there up on top of the hill, and we're looking down into the well, and all of a sudden I started just being entranced by the sparkles on the water, and the more I looked, the more sparkles there became, And there were lots of people around. I had to pull myself back because I don't know where I was going to go, but I was like, nope, got to get to the airport. So, people, you can practice that and let me know, because I think it's going to be very interesting to see. I think we're going to be doing a lot of dimensional stuff real soon now, if people haven't been doing it already.
Yeah, I think one of the ways to get to different vibratory state is probably watching yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be still enough, a good place to do it is near the water, because nature is pretty calm in itself. Just watching your mind, you know, watching your chatter, like the monkey mind,
yeah,
from one thought to another. You know, one day I was actually painting my deck, and I had all these, like, railings, the spokes in my deck, which I was a house painter many, 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 many years ago, and so painting for me, I could almost do it blindfolded. And I had a lot of spokes to paint, so kind of an easy job, you know. And I said, okay, what am I going to do with this time here? I've probably got about 4 hours of this work. Let me watch my mind. And I started observing my mind. I watched a thought would come up and say, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm like, okay. I removed that one. Boom, there was another one there. And then another and another and another. It just kept coming. So I watched the brain just doing its dance, monkey dancing.
Uh-huh.
And I realized if I could actually who was watching my mind working.
Mm-hmm.
And that place who watches the mind is the place where we actually bring ourselves to go into these different dimensions.
Yeah.
I mean, we change our reality just by changing our thoughts.
Exactly.
You know, if we let go of a chatter, we start becoming still. And in that still place, you start recognizing just really how beautiful each of us are and how powerful we are. And we start creating a world instead of reacting to the world.
Yeah. It's our own little what the bleep thing here.
You know, what the bleep, the secret, all that, none of that stuff is new. I mean,
there's
nothing new that I'm saying here either that's not been done before. It's just that how we say it, the timing, the interaction that we have as you being a listener, me over here, however I'm sounding to you, I mean, it's whenever we're ready to tap in, it'll be up to us to tap in.
I agree.
You know, I mean, it's What the Bleep, great movie, The Secret, you know, I swear by both of them. But it's not new information, Dr. Vailor, you know.
I know.
It's just bringing us back to the circle of stuff we all knew at one time that what we forgot, you know.
Exactly. It's just kind of waking people up. Speaking of waking people up, how about we wake up some water now?
You want to wake up some water?
Yeah.
We got a bunch of it coming down out here.
Yeah.
It's
well,
dancing outside.
I don't have any over here.
No?
No, I'm out in the village, you know, so it's all I've got out here is smoke from the wildfires and stuff.
So what do you want to do?
Well, let's go ahead and do a water blessing. And so, listeners, get your water ready. And Ha'a is going to lead us through a water blessing. And if you don't have any water available, put your hands on yourself, because you got plenty of water in there. And we'll go ahead and we'll do a water blessing. We're at about 15 minutes from the end of the hour, and so we're going to have to stop, you know, about 4 or 5 minutes before the end. So let's do about whatever we can in 10 minutes here. So Ha'a, I am going to put on your Essence CD here. And I don't know how well that's coming across. I had to go to the boombox here. not computer literate enough to figure out how to lay this down so it would sound better. But we'll go ahead and we'll put that on, and why don't you go ahead and lead people through the blessing.
Dr. Vailor, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, are you ready to go through the blessing?
Do you want me to talk on top of the music here? Or?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, please help people to visualize
well,
and go through the blessing.
I'm holding this jug of water in front of me, and I'm seeing it as life and recognizing what it can do to us and what it is doing to us and realizing that without it, we couldn't be here. I mean, it is the foundation of all life. and is a blessing to us. The water in your body has been on a long journey, as you have to. And if we just hold this water in our consciousness, we recognize its essence. The love that we put into this water is the love that we put into each and every one of us. Love truly is life. And if it's not of love, it will take your life from you. So with this water that we hold within our bodies, we give thanks. We thank you for holding us in this place for now. Tushmaya kita shutoy na kishna. Kopostay kachinoitana. Kushnoita kshitishna kitashnaika. Kushta paeto shinigiti. Hishnaira. Kushtaya shtushinaba. Water loves us as we love ourselves. We love each of us that are around us. To bring ourselves to awareness of a place of gratitude for this so sacred moment of life that which we have. We must let things go, as the water teaches us, to flow with whatever is happening in our life. To see it as being okay, even though we may not understand it. Just keep flowing through it all, like the water. If a rock or an obstacle shows up, just move around it. Continue to love ourselves. Thank you, water. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for the blessings of each day that you have for us. And we promise to love you, water. And as we do, we will love ourselves. Amen.
Thank you. It was beautiful. And listeners, if you would like to get a copy of Ha'a's DVD or of this soundtrack, which is called Essence, you can go to his website there, rememberthewater.com. And if you forget that, you can always call me up or drop me a line, and I'll be happy to forward that. And I bet you everybody's feeling pretty good about their water right now.
We're good.
Thank you. Thank you, Ha'a.
It's a pleasure, Dr. Valerie. I am very grateful for the opportunity to come on your radio show and to speak to my brothers and sisters that are out there listening. Hello, you guys. I wish you all well. I wish you blessings. I wish you peace within yourselves, because when you find peace within you, you also are bringing it within each and every one of us. We've been through a lot, each of us, and things are going to get better for us. It's going to be a good day. We're soon to come for each and every one of us.
Good point. Yeah, and as we address each day, in every waking moment, when we remember that we have this connection, even with the most hated enemies, we have this connection and we can't be separate. Then the more that you think the good thoughts, the positive thoughts, thoughts of love, the more you're going to change the world. Because thoughts really are what changes everything. And if you guys just want a visual treat, a nice relaxing meditative thing, this is the way to go. Get this Sacred Water DVD. If you started your day with this, wow, what difference would that make to their day? if they started every day with your DVD or the Essence soundtrack?
Well, from what I have heard, people who watch it, I was very surprised in the very beginning. I was hearing all these things of taking them to different dimensions. The practitioners watch it on a regular basis to help them stay plugged into the world of spirituality. And, you know, it's the work that I bring through is really, it's me bringing spirit through as spirit uses me to bring it through. I mean, a lot of it I don't understand, but I actually watch what it does for people, and it really has helped a whole lot of people, and by that alone, it keeps me going, keeps me doing the work. And I feel by watching this DVD, it's not watching like a regular DVD. It's actually it's an experience. It really is an experience. And I know from what I've heard that it can really help you. So, but one thing I'd like to say is that the surrender to this world as we see it, it's not to be made sense of. It's an insane world. It's crazy. Just trying to make sense of your inner being, of how you feel within yourself, and work on yourself, you know. Try to heal yourself by thinking different thoughts and going to nature and resonating with the bees and the ants and the birds, and just connected with nature. For nature will actually embrace you. And as you do that, you'll start to heal. And as you start to heal within yourselves, your world around you, what you see, will change in itself. You know, our thoughts project out into the world in which we see. So if you really want a world of peace, then let it begin with you, inside you.
Yeah. Reminds me of Bob Marley.
Hmm?
Could you be love, then be love.
Yeah. Love is really... It's once we tap into it, really feel it, it's like, why would we ever choose anything else? So,
good question. I guess for the adventure.
Yes.
You know, when you're an eternal being and you're always 100% safe.
Yeah, there's nothing to fear.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Dale Races, thank you for the water blessing.
Hmm?
That was so beautiful, and I'm glad it's on the archives. Because now... what happens is everyone who wants to can access this on the archives and have that blessing for themselves. And
are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on.
Okay,
we're
hi
still
everybody.
On for a few minutes. I'll let you know when
we. Yeah, I thought we unplugged. I don't have a clock in front of me, and but I'm still happy to be here. What are we? How much time we got left here?
We got about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But you know, every part of what you've talked about today has been so important for all those who are listening now. And who will be listening. And as I said, you know, I don't have a set script when I do these things with people, because what has to happen is directed by spirit.
I agree.
And so it all comes through in perfect harmony, in the way it's supposed to, for whatever reason. And so I know that you've touched quite a few people out there tonight, and will continue to, because this show will be on the archives. And so now they can tell all of their friends to download it, and all this stuff is downloadable on MP3, so they can, you know, pass it around, and it's going to perform a great, great service. And people also, if you're not familiar with the messages from water, which are photographs of water crystals before and after being blessed that Dr. Emoto's life work is based on, please do get yourself a copy of that, or just look it up. It's on hado.net, H-A-D-O.net. And for the water, the sacred water with Ha'a, that's rememberthewater.com. And what's your email address, Ha'a?
info@rememberthewater.com.
Okay, info@rememberthewater.com.
And they can pick up a copy of the book. The book Sacred Water is available for free right now. I put it on for free for the next couple of weeks because I want people to actually access it and be able to get it. I think it's a great book, and talk about it, share it with your friends, and that's available for free on lulu.com. That's lulu.com. And the name of the book is Sacred Water. It's available for free for you guys. So if you could, all I would ask in exchange of that, just send me an email, let me know how you guys liked it.
Cool. Thank you so much. That's quite a gift.
And that's what it's about. The more we give up, the more we receive, huh?
Exactly, and the more we connect with love. It's been a great pleasure having you on. Ha'a, thank you so much for being here tonight, and And thank you so much for the work that you've been doing.
Thank you, Dr. Valerie. It's a pleasure. And good night, everyone. Many blessings to each and every one of you.
Awesome. Okay, listeners, as usual, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. And remember the water. And remember that you are mostly water. Until next week, nighty-night.
Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Arise to a new day with each your soul's key.
Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. time. Settle down. What's the hurry? 'Cause we've got right now. Just enjoy. There are no worries. Your eyes, can you tell that we're merely floating? Let go the fear that you love to hold on to so dearly. 'Cause I wish I could stay right here, the stars that shine so bright. Then
this is Derek Whitesky Cloud, your favorite neighborhood psychic medium and paranormal investigator, and welcome to the show called Between Two Worlds on bbsradio.com. It is Tuesday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and those who are up in action on the eastern coast of Ontario in that area, it's 11:03 right there. So our guest we're going to bring in, or we've actually had invited in, her name is Brenda McIntyre. And Brenda McIntyre is an Aboriginal singer. She's actually the number one unsigned Canadian neo-soul artist since May 15, 2007. She also made number one in Roots in June 2007 and has spent 2 months as number two in Healing and Easy Listening Music. Now, one thing about this young lady I've noticed, and I'd like to thank the people that actually passed her on to me that said, you know, you listen to this girl's music, it's absolutely phenomenal. So when I went to her webpage and I heard her music, I was floored. I mean, basically myself, I do play drums, Aboriginal drums, because I'm actually, we call ourselves Métis myself, my family. And we're going to be actually asking Brenda where she's from and where she originally learned her skills as a singer and entertainer. She also works in the healing field. So here's basically, I'm going to tell the story about her right now before I bring her on. And it's basically, Brenda is a multiple award-winning singer. She's a traditional native hand drummer, inspirational speaker, and emerging visual artist. Her music has evolved from rap and reggae into her own special flavor of Aboriginal hand drumming and singing with a touch of neo-soul. It's totally different. I never heard neo-soul, so I'm looking forward to hearing what that means. Her interactive seminars focus on leadership, stress relief, confidence, building, Aboriginal drumming, water teachings, the law of attraction, and cultural awareness, and she's dedicated to her musical career and to her work within the Aboriginal community. Recently earned her the 2007 title of Aboriginal Business Woman of the Year by the Toronto Aboriginal Business Association. Wow. She was also selected as a guest speaker for the Ontario Public Services Women of Influence and Inspiration in the event and honored in Ottawa by the Minwashin Lodge for her work with Aboriginal women. Brenda's third solo album, Spirit Connection, which we're actually going to be hearing. I've got the song played ready to play here, so I'm going to have everyone listen to this song. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's been released in April 2007 to a full house, which includes music and meditation and teachings for stress relief and success. Corresponding with her latest leadership program, The Seven Keys to Spirit Connection, the CD artwork features two of Brenda's first paintings. Brenda's visionary art was displayed at the Toronto City Hall Rotunda this June as she performed and spoke at the National Aboriginal Day events in June 2007. In July 2007, Brenda will embark on her Aboriginal Spirit Connection Tour, Western Canada, including performances at the Kamaskit Music Festival, Sunshine Music Festival, and a Seminar Roots and Blues Festival, as well as the concert and workshop series at the Ashcroft Opera House and various community events. Now, that is in British Columbia, where I live, so I'm looking forward to have a chat with Brenda. We're going to bring her on right now. And I'd like to welcome Brenda. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. This is great.
You're welcome. Now, I am actually Florida. I can't believe all these wonderful things you've been doing throughout the years. Now, when did you start all this? When did you decide to get into the singing more often, or what gave you that desire to go into this field?
I've been singing since I was a little kid, but not the Aboriginal drumming. I didn't know anything about my culture because I grew up adopted, and I was told I was white, so I just knew I had an attraction to the drum, period, just to drumming, and I've always been singing. I've just always loved it, and when I was 11 years old, I already knew like that was what I had to do. So it's just kind of built from there, especially after I kind of turned my life around. I mean, it's been quite a journey, and coming to Toronto and meeting people in the Native community and having them, you know, ask me questions that didn't make sense to me and then now do, like, where are you from, in those kind of terms, you know, what nation, basically, and those kind of things. When I went to York University, I got the opportunity to really sort of delve into who I am and look into the cultural side of things on all sides. I mean, I'm Irish, Scottish, Ojibwe, Odawa, and I don't even know what else.
Yeah.
And, you know. So okay. To find out all of that and then just keep on going with it. And I was introduced to the drum through actually a Navajo healing ceremony in a big way. That's where I really, my voice started to come out, and I heard my voice have two voices for the first time in my life when she did that ceremony for me. And so it's just grown from there, from just thanks to, I don't know, being able to hang on to my spirit and really go on my healing journey and just do that.
Now, you've actually, when you did say you start playing drums now, do you play any other instrument besides drums?
I play enough keyboard to write music because these melodies come to me. And I mean, I started out with reggae and hip-hop, actually.
And, oh, yeah?
And so in a bit of R&B in that and kind of mixing it up together. And I learned from some very good people that I've been fortunate to come across in my life. Stephen Cogdell is one of them, and his wife, Charmalee Knox. They've been so supportive for me. And in the music industry, they knew what they were doing. Stephen's in a reggae band now, and he's always, from when I've known him, done reggae, and I've known them for, about 12 years, I think, now. And because of those two individuals, I was able to learn a whole lot about the music industry and a whole lot about how to create music with other people.
Oh, yeah.
And just even how to play the keyboard and stuff like that. I had a little bit of that knowledge, but yeah.
And you were given a name.
Yeah.
Who gave you your name?
Joanne Dallaire. She's an elder in the community, and she'll never say she's an elder. She's such a humble and wonderful human being. It's just she's amazing, and she's an elder in the community and a seer and counselor and healer, and the work she does is all over the place here in Toronto, especially. And she's Cree, and I just ended up getting a lot of really good teachings from her and going to a lot of her circles and stuff. And also she had me perform at a place where she works here, an agency here in Toronto, John Howard Society, and where they deal with, she does work in the community with men who have been in prison and who are trying to heal themselves and get, you know, move on with life. And
yeah.
So I was doing a lot of work there, and actually at one of those ceremonies, I asked her and gave her tobacco, and And I had a spirit name before that, but I just knew it was not, it was done. And this was the time to ask, and yeah, she did it right there, and that was one of the gifts that that she has.
So your given name, I want you to share that with the rest of the world, but your given name for you is which?
Which, my spirit name, or my given, my adopted name, or?
Spirit name.
My spirit name is Mishkikinagamwenenikwe, which is Ojibwe for Medicine Song Woman. And, I mean, my adopted name is Brenda McIntyre, and my given name was Lisa, actually, Lisa McCulloch, so.
Okay, yeah. Now, I want to go a little bit further into part of your past a little bit, not to hurt you, but when did you find out that you were adopted? Did your parents tell you that you were adopted, or did you, how did you find out about your Aboriginal background, or not actually discovered it?
Well, I knew I was adopted, probably from when I could speak, because I don't remember not knowing. But my parents passed away quite early in my life when I was a teenager.
Okay.
And up until then, it was a sort of always a touchy subject. And after they passed on, I really wanted to find out. And the adoption laws are very difficult. things have changed a bit in Alberta. Well, a lot, I guess. In the 90s, I was able to finally find out my last name, which I wasn't able to find out before. And then that helped me to find out more. So, but I didn't know about anything about being Aboriginal because I didn't really see that kind of, I don't know, people were people to me when I was growing up. So, I mean, and I was in Kamloops, and the funny thing is, I mean, there were no Native people where I was.
Yeah.
I didn't see any unless there was like a parade or something like that going on. You know, school Mac Days, they used to call it. And that was the only time I would see Native people, so I really didn't even know that I looked like them until actually this one time, and I look at this picture, and it's like we could be sisters, these two girls that we billeted.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I look back, and it's just, we totally fit in together, and but I didn't know anything about that and until, I guess it must have been my early 30s. Yeah.
Okay, and I won't have to ask you how old you are right now.
Oh, I don't care. Age is whatever. I earned these gray hairs, and I'm proud of them.
Oh, okay. Basically, you're an elder in training.
Something like that, I guess.
That's why everybody calls me. I'm an elder in training. our community, I'm actually, and our Métis community, I'm recognized as an elder, but I'm only 50 years old, but they say, you know, you're an elder because you're recognized that way. So I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see myself that I can't walk, I don't know. I just have a hard time accepting the word elder.
I hear you.
I just go with it. I said, well, you know, I'm just training. I'm learning still.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's like one of the elders out here, Isaac Day, would say, I'm the helper.
Oh, there we go. That's a good one.
You know, we can talk about having our spirit helpers and all that, but really when it comes down to it, we're the helpers.
Definitely.
Right? Yeah.
Now, what I want to do, I want to play your song, and then we'll have, I'll play it partially through here, so we'll give people an idea of what the song sounds like and see what they feel from that. So,
cool.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
We're about right now.
Sounds great.
Hey!
sound on your side of the world?
It sounds crystal clear over here.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's why I find it's important. Now, what's the name of this song?
That one's called Starlight, and actually she's now 10 as of a couple of days ago, but my daughter named that song.
She did. So
yeah.
She knew it was. She had that inspiration to share that with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
So now you have won awards for your outstanding work and recognized in this year, basically, you're recognized as the, there's so many things here, National Aboriginal Day events in 2007. You are part of now was this visionary art, as you actually as an artist or as a singer-artist?
I actually started painting as well, and so it is my art, yeah. I guess you could say it's visionary, everything that I do, because it all kind of comes from spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now
the paintings for sure, yeah.
Now you've released, how many CDs actually have you got recorded so far?
I think, I have 3 solo CDs so far, and actually just got a grant to do another one, so I'm really excited about that.
Wow.
And, which means I'll be coming back to your neck of the woods again next year, which is very cool. And so that'll be my 4th next year, but that's my solo albums. And then I also have released 3 sort of official albums and a couple of other ones that weren't so official with a group called Spirit Wind that myself and Zainab Amadahi started in 1999. So between 1999 and 2004, we released 5 CDs.
Now, you've done the National Aboriginal Awards. Have you been to the National Aboriginal Awards yourself?
The Aboriginal Achievement Awards?
Yes, I meant to say Achievement Awards, yes.
Oh, I was a nominee, but I didn't get to go. My friend DJ Quay got to go, and she's in Vancouver. Hello, DJ Quay, if you're listening. but I myself didn't get to go this year.
Okay, so I'm sure they'll pick you out this year.
Well, we'll see what happens. I'm open to winning awards.
Definitely. We work hard to help people heal, and
yeah.
I find your voice is very healing for others.
Well,
and that's one thing that really got my attention, because a lot of people would say, well, for example, when I'm out there, when I sing healing songs, it helps a lot of people. They say it makes them feel comfortable. And you including the drum, because the drum is very healing, you know, when we work with them. And so your voice and the drum including, it gets their attention, it draws their attention. Like, remember when I spoke to you before, that your song, this particular song itself, when I was singing with you, somehow I just knew the song so quickly. It was so easy to sing along with, that I swore I was in a powwow and I was singing with a group of people all at once. You know, you're just pulled right in and you're part of everything.
Cool.
And I just thought I just thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, it's amazing, really. It's amazing when you put yourself into that kind of work and what people can feel and what people can experience, for sure.
Now, you also, when you do work in you work in the healing field as well, I'm sure. Do you do healing circles or with your drum?
I think what happens is that it just ends up being, the work that I do ends up being healing anyway, because I've sang a lot of social songs that have come to me before, but when I started singing solo again and when I went to Thunder Mountain and really sort of, I took a break from everything and wanted to see what I'm supposed to do next. I mean, all the songs that are coming now, they're all healing songs, all of them. And so when I'm singing, I'm always in prayer, and the songs, when they come through spirit, and I don't have to think about it at all. I just sing and they come.
Yes.
And it's just so connected to the spirit world and to just being real that that's why it helps people. I know that, because it's not just me. You know, I'm just sort of the instrument and being able to do this. And I'm blessed and really grateful to be able to do this kind of work. I just love it. Like, it's who I am, and I've known that all my life. but I didn't know how or what shape it would take.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I answered your question now. What was it again?
I think you did quite well answering the question. It's like, I mean, myself, when I work in the field, and we always talk about using our drum or using our flute or any type of instrument, if we are using it, you know, to work with people that they feel that they're really comfortable with it, your voice and your drum, it just radiates out there. I'm positive it's going to help a lot of people to go through the healing. Now, you do have CDs for sale. It's not, so basically, they are available online on your website, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to go to BrendaMcIntyre.com, now it's actually spelled BrendaMcIntyre.com. And you can actually look on her website, and if you want to place any orders or music, there's some samples in there that you can listen to. And they're fabulous. And she also has another website she's attached to, which is actually myspace.com. Brenda's also in there as well as one of the artists. And she actually has, a few more sample songs that she actually has played on there. I've listened to them. I'm in awe of this. So it makes me feel good. And I'm sure others out there, when they listen to the song, they'll actually enjoy this more. Now, also, you're going to be doing some traveling.
Yeah,
and
traveling.
How far have you gone? Like, have you gone across the U.S. as well? Have you traveled across the U.S.?
Myself, I haven't really done a lot of traveling yet, and I haven't done any touring at all, which is interesting because I've been singing for like 22 years, but most of it's been local. And I mean, part of the reason for that is because I'm also a single mom, and I've dedicated a lot of my time and energy to my kids, and my son is 20 now and starting to do his own thing with music, which is really awesome.
Wow.
And my daughter now comes with me everywhere I go, so now I feel like I've got more freedom to travel and do this kind of thing. And also because I have to really be thankful for my friend Raven Crowe, who's coming with me, because she's wanted to go to BC as almost as badly as I do, and she never lived there or anything, but she really wants to go, and I mean, she's driving. I don't drive, so I'm very grateful, and also because her work complements, mine complements hers.
Now she sings as well?
Yes, and it's really cool because we just really got to know each other over the past couple of years, through an Aboriginal entrepreneur course that we took together, and she didn't sing at all, and she has opened up her voice so much that she has so much power in her voice now, you'd think she's been singing for years, and that's just the power of the drum, right, and also just the healing that goes on with that, and now she actually has received a ceremony that, you know, through the spirit that she does in the community out here, and now she's considered a medicine woman, and that's all new to her. And the ceremony she's doing, I experienced it. I went over to what's called the Dodum Kanonsa Aboriginal Cultural Facility here, where they bring in elders and traditional teachers. And so she was doing her ceremony in there, and it's affecting people in such an amazing way. Everyone that comes out of that ceremony, it just makes them feel like a burden's been lifted, and like they're just uplifted, inspired. They feel great after they come out, and I felt like that too. I got to experience her ceremony, and it's called the Healing Through the Drum Ceremony. So I think it's so awesome that she was able to find her voice, and now she has this ceremony that she shares in the community, and she's bringing that with her too. Like that's her gift, one of her gifts that she can share. You know, and
no, I just turned to one of the pages here, and it shows that Raven Crowe actually is also a belly dancer.
She used to be, and
oh, okay.
That she will say saved her life many times because she connected so strongly with just the body movement and learning to control different parts of the body. Like it's amazing what she can do with she has actually a workshop called Physical Emotional Release now.
Okay.
And what it is it's no longer belly dancing that she does. It's a therapeutic dance form that she's actually developed through the 32 years of her work that she did with that. And because she was an instructor for many years.
Okay.
And of, you know, of belly dancing, but now she turned it into a completely different thing that is actually healing. It's really, really healing. And she has, I can't even remember how many movements she has. It's crazy. And yeah, that's part of who she is. It's kind of dropping a little bit because she's really dedicated to the healing through the drum ceremony now.
Yeah.
But that's the physical emotional release. She's done that at the Dotem as well and gotten really great response. People really like it, and the kids like it. Doesn't matter what age, people really enjoy it. And actually, she'll probably be doing that at the Kamaskat Festival. So, yeah.
Now, you've been on the APTN.
Yeah, we did got some coverage for the tour just recently, actually. I think it was just last week.
And, wow.
Couple of
loads of people out there are actually APTN is Aboriginal Peoples Television Network, so it's fabulous to know that you have been on there because it lets the public know that you are traveling. Now, you're making your trip to just British Columbia this year, or are you going to go across Canada through to British Columbia, or like you make some stops on the way to do
it? We're driving across, and we're going to stop wherever we stop. So, you know, we're going to hit the friendship centers along the way, and. Because we really want to get into the community, too, into the Aboriginal community and get involved that way. You know,
that means you're going to be heading to the Vancouver Friendship Center.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, definitely we'll have to come by there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going through. And, I mean, the festival dates that we have right now are in B.C., and those are what I got, and which is cool because I love staying in B.C., We'll be spending some time in Alberta as well because I have some family there we'll be staying with. And also we're hoping to, well, we have to stop along the way. And so anywhere we stop, we're just going to stop in the community and hopefully we'll do some teachings and whatever we can do along the way, on the way there and back.
Now, you did the very first Empowering Women Symposium. That was last year.
Yeah.
How did that event turn out?
It was a really great beginning to something that just we dreamed up in a few days and then sort of developed it over about, I guess, a couple of months. And it was a really great beginning to almost like a little pilot for what we could do because we had a small venue and just wanted to try it out. And
yeah.
The people that were there got a lot out of it for sure. And it was the photos were amazing, actually. We got spirit orbs in almost every one of them.
Really?
It was really, really fulfilling for sure for all of us. And Joanne Dallaire, we were so, so blessed and grateful to have her to be on board with that. And, yeah, it was really good. And we do want to do that again. And we need to, I know we need to think about bigger venue and really plan it and take our time with it.
Yeah, think big.
Yeah.
You
That's the thing,
think
because I know when I come back here, I'll be working on my next album, so... going to be really busy.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at this part of your page as well here, and that you have a fairly good-sized drumming circles. Now, this is actually taking place at Ellington's Music and Cafe, which is up in Ontario, I'm sure, and that was taken in 2005. What's the average amount of people that actually shows up playing drums? Do you get like 10, 20? Most you've ever actually played with?
I think it depends on the day and sort of where it's at. At Ellington's, I tend to get a good crowd there, and unfortunately it's a small venue, but it is a really wonderful venue because the people running it, it's very community-oriented, and it's very neighborhood and very kid-friendly, and I really like that, you know, and they don't serve alcohol, and to me that's really important, so I love supporting them, and I love going there, so that's where I had my CD launch, and it was really packed.
Wow.
You know, and we had a drumming circle going, and it was great. There was lots of people there, and I don't know, probably 30 or so that could fit in there and sit down. And, yeah.
I'm sure you've always drummed outside, too, as well, with a group of people.
Oh, well, we drum everywhere. we drum everywhere. Raven and I and my friend Syra, too, we just go everywhere, and especially if it's by the water, to pray for the water.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go and sing by the water quite a bit. So it doesn't matter where we are. There's always going to be drumming going on. Yeah.
Actually, I want to play another one of your songs. And so, folks, if you want to be listening to this one here, and I'm ready to start this one now. You ready for this one, Brenda?
Cool.
Okay, here we go. Wonderful. Now, this song actually called Reawakening.
Yeah.
And that's actually taken from your... Now, your CD actually is called Spirit Connection.
Yeah.
And it's listed under the Medicine Song Woman. And your CD, again, is available on your website. Those of you who want to order that. She also has another CD called Thunder Mountain Healing Songs. And now that's the first one, and the other one is the second one. Is that right?
Well, it's the second and third, actually, because the other one I don't sell anymore.
Oh, you're not selling the other one?
The other one is R&B and soul and reggae, and I only made a limited number of copies of that one.
Oh, there's one here. Now, here's the other question, yeah. What, you did soul and reggae before you got into this?
Yeah.
And you stopped doing it?
I still kind of do it. And the thing is, it gets infused into some of the songs, like Starlight, the way that it's just really soulful. And
yeah.
And I have, I do still do it. It's just a matter of the kind of work that I'm doing now. Because I'm focusing so much on the teachings and drumming, and it's just so different to try and find a band that'll do the kind of music that I can do, that I want.
Yes.
And not, to be honest and blunt, not to be drugging and, you know, drinking and all that stuff, and I'm really so not for that. So, but
yeah.
I do, like my friend Stephen Cogdell, you know, I told him next time he plays at Ellington's, I'll be singing one of his songs, because I have written something to one of his songs after asking permission, so... And you might see him out on tour at West, too, next year, because I know he wants to go back, and he's done that. He's toured out West before. But he was really, he was like my band, my backup band.
So he does play. What kind of instruments does he play?
Oh, all kinds. He's an incredible guitarist.
Yeah.
And but he also, I don't know, he seems to play a lot of things. But I when in the bands, usually he's playing lead guitar and he's lead vocal. Most often, but right now he's in a band called Irie Band, and they do dub roots. And he's always focused on positive music, and that's why I really enjoyed working with Stephen. So anytime that he's in a alcohol-free venue, then I'm there. I'll go and sing for nothing. I just love doing it. And so I haven't stopped doing it. It's just a matter of, I guess, appropriate venue, and you know. Just making sure that I can, because I have to, for me, energetically and everything else, I really just don't like being around alcohol and drugs and that kind of stuff anymore. So being that reggae clubs are clubs, it's not as easy to find appropriate venues and appropriate band members either, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that happens, because you got to find the right people that are not involved in drugs and alcohol. One of the most common things in the journey that most musicians, or no matter what it is, musician or actor, and whether you make a choice of using drugs or alcohol, but I would say that for that person that it's better when you're clean anyways, because it's very difficult for a lot of people out there that are have difficulties, and our people always have difficulties trying to recover. And because it's been passed down for the family and generation. So,
yeah.
Now if I'm alcohol, I'm actually drug-free as well, because, I mean, there is a lot of that in our family, and it's a big difference. You know, I got my life together for over 25 years, and I'll never look back. You know, so it's
It totally. It's a different thing altogether, and it's just energetically too. It's a different thing. I mean, you're just not the same person when you're when you're drinking, and when I'm around that, I sense people's energy pretty easily, and I don't like it. Just doesn't feel right. So
Now
you know, it's lifestyle choices for other people, but for me, I just don't want to be around it.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to play another song. This is called Amazing.
Go beyond your limitation. See beyond your hesitation. Grow a little every day. You are amazing. You are amazing.
Everyone gets in the circle and they hold hands, and it's a very nice feeling. We just that family feeling, you know, we all gather in one room. Brent, are you when you use a friendship dance?
Yeah,
you know, very nice feeling to it. Now, you're coming up this way to BC.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be at the place called Kamaskit. Music festival. Now, I did some research on that place, and there's going to be some teepees put up there.
Yeah.
A teepee camp, and there could be all kinds of things. Now, this is open for everyone. This is not just the ones, not just Aboriginal people only. This actually is multicultural. So, all things that you're going to is actually a multicultural programming, isn't it?
Yeah, right now, the stuff that I've got booked is totally for everyone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been to Kamaskit before?
No, I haven't, and so it's going to be great for me because I grew up in Vernon. I grew up in Kamloops and in Vernon.
Okay.
And yeah, so and this is at the head of the lake, Okanagan Lake in Vernon.
Okay. And the Sunshine Music Festival, where is that one located at?
That one is actually on the Sunshine Coast. It's I don't know the area too well. I just know that I have a relative there named Wendy.
and, hello, relative.
Who I will be visiting. Well, she's through my birth family, so it's been really interesting. She sent me a whole bunch of genealogy information and stuff, so it's really great. It's going to be great to meet her. And Yeah, that's on the Sunshine Coast.
Okay, so you're called Salmon Arm.
Yeah.
That's for the Salmon Arm Roots and Blues Festival. And what date is that one?
It's August 17th to 19th.
Okay, and we also have the Ashcroft, or is that Mr. Wells Concert Workshops at Ashcroft Opera House. Now, this is Ashcroft in Ashcroft, the town of Ashcroft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. August 21st to 22nd there, yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be up here, up all the way up this way for the all month of August or partial August?
Oh, pretty much the month, yep.
You're coming to Vancouver. When do you think?
Well, it's going to depend on what we find, and you know we're just going to be all over the place. We're so open and spontaneous to just be able to travel, because for me, I mean, it's a wonder and joy just to be able to be in BC at all, because I haven't been back in so long. And for me to connect with the land and the interior is really important, because that's where I feel home. And so we're going to spend lots of time there. And I do have some friends, like I mentioned, DJ Quay, you know, also in the music industry in Vancouver. And she works with the youth, the Aboriginal youth out there. And I for sure we need to connect with the coast. And I would love to go to the Friendship Center out there, because here, women do not drum on the big drum in Toronto. And the thing is, for me and Raven, it's just been calling us anyway. And, I mean, I grew up in places where they do that and where it's welcome, you know. And
yeah, it
I
is
didn't know anything about that, but look at me wanting to be a drummer. You know, and here I am growing up in this little Dallas elementary school where there are no Native people and where only boys drum, not girls. And so it was disempowering in a way, and coming back is going to be really healing for me. And to be able to go on the coast and be part of that will be amazing to me. So
yeah,
we're going to have to spend some time there for sure. And after September 1st, I mean, then we can really take our time. And that's when the Sunshine Festival is September 1st. So once we're done there, it's basically, what do we want to do? Where do we want to do it?
Yeah.
On our way back, we can take our time, you know. Yeah, so we want to spend some time for sure on the coast as well.
Do you do men's, you work with men a lot, men's healing circles, or a combination mix of family circles?
Raven's done more work with men, actually, than I have. But, and the work that I've ever done with, most I've ever done with men has been through Joanne Dallaire's work, because she works with men. That's at the John Howard Society. And I think a couple of years ago, and I was getting to do a lot of work with within her ceremonies,
yeah,
just singing and healing songs for them. But Raven does, she's done a few things with different men's groups and had some really big success with that, particularly homeless men in Toronto, and really been good at it. And for me, it just tends to be women and youth who are drawn to what I do.
Yes.
The kind of music that I sing, I guess, and the kind of healing that comes, whatever it is, I tend to draw mostly women and youth. Yeah.
Because you do have a men's honor song on your list here in your Spirit Connection CD.
Men's honor song is actually not on the CD, and you know what? That's a free download for anyone who's listening. It's on my MySpace, and I leave it there because I got that on Father's Day. I think it was 3 days before Father's Day last year, and I have two drums that are male spirit drums, and my drum that he's just called Old Man, and there's an old man spirit in that drum, and he gives me these songs that are just, they all, you would know the song. If you hear the song, you'll know that style is totally from that drum.
Uh-huh.
And they're usually very male songs, and very traditional. And that's the kind of songs that drum gives me. And that one, yeah, it came for men. And because we don't have, I've never heard of a men's honor song before. And there's a couple of women's honor songs out there. One of them I have, and it's kind of spread like wildfire all over the place. And then another one, the Strong Woman song that most people will know, that came out of Kingston Prison for Women. And
okay.
Yeah, I had this come to me, and I was really moved by it, and a lot of people have wanted to hear it, so I keep it on there for free. Yeah.
Now, you also have, I mean, on your CD cover, Spirit Connection, who did the art? Did you do this art?
Yeah. The design was by my friend Charmalee Knox that I mentioned earlier, and the painting in the middle is mine. Yeah.
Wow, it's nice. Absolutely. It looks like it has a little bit of influence of Morris, though.
Oh, yeah.
If you know who he is.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I just, it came the way it came.
Yeah.
And that was, like, I think the third painting I...
Because his...
It was the fourth altogether in my life that I've done.
Yeah, because the field that he's in, he's also very well known as he's an internal healer. His art that he uses is Alex to help heal people. They
right.
are so to that design, so I feel that, again, his vision is through what Spirit offers him. Now,
yeah.
a lot of your art, do you ever do any art and put into galleries, or do you sell it when you travel, or?
It's really funny, because I really did just start painting. I haven't been doing this very long, just since November.
Okay, so you might have...
This was like a baby
available.
Art show.
So you may have something available before you get to BC then.
Yeah, oh yeah, I do. I mean, I've already sold one, which is really nice. But I've done a few. I've done some smaller ones, and I did a nice big 24x32 one that people seem to really like. So called Spirit Song. Yeah, I don't have them on my MySpace or... I'm actually redeveloping my website right now, so I'm hoping to have it up before I leave, and then I can have some of my art on there.
Yeah, because you have so much on your page, so many things. I know what it's like, because I mean, if you ever went to my page, you'll see all kinds of things I have in there.
Yeah.
I like to fit in as much as I can for people, let them all know what's available, what's around, and I like to support the community. So, Now that you're coming to BC, now what's going to happen back in Ontario when you do get back? What do you have going on in the next little bit, say, from October on, or September, October on? You're heading back to Ontario. What would you be doing then?
Well, I'll be working on the next album for sure, because thanks to Canada Council, I got another grant for that. And that is sort of, there are some other things that have been in the works and kind of had to take a back burner for a while, and one of them is I'm working on a book, and another one that's going to coincide with the book is I actually have some of the teachings. You'll see on my website, well, if you dig deep enough, because there's so much stuff on there, but I have an inspirations page where I have inspirational messages and little meditation exercises and activities like that. I'm going to actually be developing cards with those activities and all of the, well, not all of them, but some certain inspirational teachings and messages and stuff. And it's going to coincide with the CD as well. So
wow, you're
kind of
busy.
A little surprise. I've never really said it in public yet. So it's exciting, and I know it's going to be a lot of work, and I'm really looking forward to being able to do that work. So, yeah.
We have a lot of people on chat line here from both sides. We've got chat line from Pal Talk, and we have chat lines from BBS. So their questions are coming up like crazy here.
Cool.
Also, I'd like to also recognize folks that are actually listening in as well as watching the chat line and chatting back and forth. Now, Brenda does have an email available, so if anybody who wants to make contact with her to order anything or even have a chat with her, or even if anyone out there actually is doing any kind of abras or programs and they're looking for more artists while she's in the territory, that's a hint because I know some people are listening in right now. her email is info@getbutterflied.com. That is so cute.
And that my daughter helped me come up with, too. See that?
Now, she also has a phone number available on her website. If you want to contact her, have a chat with her, I'm sure Brenda is open with this. Because I'll tell you one thing, Brenda. In August, we're actually having our Métis gathering here at the Vancouver Public Library.
Oh, wow.
So you'll be hearing all about it because it's you know, once I get it out there, I'll email you, let you know about it, because you, if you're in that territory, you can always stop in and entertain us while you're up there, because they always put the stage up there and enjoy yourself to share your songs. We'd love to have you up in this area to see you.
Right on. Sounds like
now,
fun.
What I'm going to do is I want to play your song. You also did Starlight New Mix. The first one I played was just you singing alone. Now you've got people backing you up on this one here. I find this one really even more in-depth. So I'm going to play this one as we speak.
Sure.
And telling you, it just keeps you just thinking that you're in another planet right now. You're just like you're flying to the stars.
Cool.
Fabulous.
That's the intent.
I'm just back singing along and enjoying all this. This is actually great. Well, basically, to let you know, Brenda, we're getting almost close to closing here, and it's been fabulous having you on. And we're looking forward to seeing you sometime up in this area. Myself, I'll be near the Friendship Center. I want to hear you're in town.
Sounds good.
Come down and see you, and I'll come and grab you by the hand and shake your hand and say, here I am.
Great.
So, is there anything you want to let the public know out there? What's going on? Any else before we close?
Well, I just want to say thanks for sure for having me on the show, and I really want to stress the importance of taking care of yourself and also about the water, because one of the things we're doing is talking about the water and healing the water. Like here in Ontario, Lake Ontario is not happy, and we do a lot of singing by the water to help that, and all you have to do is say thank you to the water. That's like one simple step you can take, and it will help. It will help you. It will help the water around you and the water in the air. It's amazing what little tiny steps we really can take. And that's one thing, one way to go about it. And also, yeah, for empowering yourself. The elders have told me anyways time and time again, I've heard that you've got to take care of yourself before you can take care of anybody else. Because, how can we take care of anybody else if we don't know who we are and feel good inside, right?
That's
so
true.
Really important. True. So that's kind of the gist of what I'm about, too, and the kind of the teachings that I like to give. Yeah.
Well, Brenda, I thank you very much for coming on our show. And with BBS Radio, is honored by having you come on. And with my show called Between Two Worlds, it's to me This is a, I wanted to do something a little bit different offbeat because this is part of the work that I do in my work is getting out to work with the Aboriginal people. So I'd like to thank the persons that actually turned me on to this, which were from the Dream Path Radio. And they were kind of shocked that I actually called you.
I am so thankful, too, to them. And that came to me through someone who actually attended one of my workshops at the Dodum Canonsa here in Toronto. So much to those people.
Basically, I knew where you when I knew you were coming up in this territory, I thought, you know what, I got to have you on my show because I know very well what benefit. And just to meet you, and maybe sometime together you and I will sit down and we'll play a drum and to share some songs.
Would love to. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And I guess I should let you know, too, that I'll be on kind of the Dream Path Radio on Saturday the 14th of July, from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. I think that's
okay.
My time.
Okay, July 14th.
Yeah, July,
okay.
July 14th on Dream Path
down.
Radio. Yeah.
And you're going to be, and I'll actually, I just saw your list here, so I'm going to quickly do this now. You're going to be August the 3rd, Kamaskit Music Festival. I just saw it just now. August the 11th, you're going to be in Cherryville Arts Festival. That's in Cherryville, British Columbia. You'll be a Lodge and Retreat in Cherryville in concert August the 12th. The 17th of August, Salmon Arm Roots and Blues. August 21st, Ashcroft Open House. Open House. It is an open house. August 22nd, Ashcroft Opera House again. 24th of August, the Bean Scene Coffee House. My God, they're coffee. What happened to the tea these days? September the 1st, Sunshine Coast Music Festival. Brenda, it's been fabulous. Thank you very much for coming on. And I want to get you to come back here again to chat with you and see what's been happening in the near future, see what you listen to, share your next CD release.
Well, that'll be great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, you take care, folks. It's been great. I'll chat with you next week. In the meantime, in the between time, this is it. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you listen to Between Two Worlds on BBSRadio.com. Take care, guys. It's been a pleasure. Miigwech.
Miigwech.